Grace and mercy and peace be to you, from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today, this Sunday of the Passion, comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 26th and 27th chapters. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. Which do you prefer? Shouts of Hosanna or crucify him? I grew up mostly with Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. The images of Jesus riding on a donkey, people throwing their coats on the road to welcome him, palm fronds. And you got to take them home after service. You could hang them up or turn them into a little cross. And you could keep them. Palms, after all, are a symbol of celebration. One view of heaven, in fact, has everybody waving palm branches. But Passion Sunday, that's a little bit rougher than Palm Sunday. There is betrayal and denial, arrest, trials, beatings, mockery, the crucifixion. Not fun stuff. In fact, a lot of this would be stuff that you'd sooner rather forget. Except that the gospel will not let us forget it. Because the palms lead to the passion. The donkey leads to the cross. The hosannas lead to the silence of the cross. Just like you can't have Easter Sunday without Good Friday, so you can't have Palm Sunday without Passion Sunday. It's a collision of two agendas, two kingdoms, two crowds, and two messiahs. On the one hand is Barabbas, his name meaning Son of the Father, strangely enough. We have the Son of the Father and Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Father. Now, when you picture Barabbas, don't think of a raving madman. Think more of an insurrectionist, a terrorist, and yes, a murderer. Cross number 3, in all likelihood, had his name on it. They really weren't much into long trials and endless legal appeals in those days. And so it's very probable that those 3 crucifixions, well, they were probably already on Pilate's Friday Passover docket until Jesus showed up at the door with a huge mob behind him. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding a donkey, he was intentionally pushing on all of the messianic buttons. David, King David, had rode into battle on a donkey. He personally didn't understand the way of horses as his son Solomon would. The prophet Zechariah also said that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. The shouts of Hosanna, the coats on the road, the waving of the branches, all had the trappings of Messiah, of King David riding in majesty to reclaim the city for the kingdom of God. Hosanna to the Son of David, the people cry. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The crowd was ready. It was excited. It was mobilized. Even Jesus' disciples had a couple swords tucked into their tunics. And Peter even uses one in a clumsy attempt to defend Jesus in the garden. The point here is that Jesus intentionally and knowingly rode into a hotbed of insurrection and intrigue. He knew that they were plotting to kill him. He knew that Jerusalem was boiling over with anticipation. He knew that the religious leaders were conspiring against him. And he knew that Pilate would do almost anything to keep a Passover riot from happening, which included turning loose a known terrorist. He knew all of this, and yet he did it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame. For the joy of your salvation, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. For the joy of rescuing the world from sin and death, Jesus rode into this drama knowing full well its outcome, knowing that the scriptures had to be fulfilled, knowing that this was the eternal plan and the will of his Father, that he, the Son, should bear humanity's rebellion and death in his own body. There's a curious thread of blood that runs through the Passion story. It begins on the fateful night of Jesus' betrayal at the hands of Judas, one of his own. Jesus takes the cup and he gives it to each of his disciples. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The covenant in which God forgives sin and remembers iniquity no more. He gives them his blood as wine to drink, and so binds them in a covenant of blood. They are bound to his death and he to theirs. Later, Judas sees the outcome of Jesus' arrest, and he appears to recognize his error. He takes the 30 pieces of silver back to the temple, and he says, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." He wants to be cleared of the blood of Jesus, and yet the priests there have no absolution to offer him. "What is that to us?" they say. "That is your problem." If only he had come back to Jesus. The priests, they can't keep the money. It is blood money. And so they use it to buy the field of blood to be used as a burial place for all the Jane and John Does of Jerusalem. Pilate, for his part, washes his hands at Jesus' trial and says, "I am innocent of this man's blood. He's your problem." And the crowd who clamored for the crucifixion of Jesus says, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." They say it in derision, in mockery, the way that this world always does when it comes to Jesus. And yet still they speak a great and profound truth. His blood must be upon you and on your children if you are to be saved. That's the difference between Barabbas and between Jesus the Christ. The blood of Barabbas cannot save you. But Jesus the Christ, the one who rides on a borrowed donkey, the one who has thorns for a crown, dies for you. He sheds his blood for you. He offers his life in place of your life. He offers his blood for the sin of the world, the redemption price of slavery, the liberation from our field of blood, our resurrection from the grave, our washing from sin by baptism, in which his blood is upon us and upon our children. The Passion, at its core, is a drama of many characters besides even Barabbas. We find Peter the denier, quick to speak, courageous with the sword, afraid to be associated with Jesus and to confess him even to a servant girl. There's Judas the traitor. His idea of a Messiah was not what Jesus was there to deliver. and his regret didn't bring him back to Jesus, but sadly, to death by his own hand. There are the politicians, the schemers, Pilate, the Roman governor who let himself be pushed around by a mob, Caiaphas, the politically appointed high priest who himself conducted a sham trial, Barabbas, the murderer who gets off scot-free at Jesus' expense. We have the two thieves crucified with Jesus, Simon of Cyrene, an out-of-town pilgrim who's there to celebrate the Passover and is caught up in all of this and forced to carry the cross of his Savior. There's the soldiers on duty, the crowds who mock, the women who stand by faithfully, the disciples who scatter in fear. The Passion is a rich narrative of characters of all sorts. And we are all of them. From Peter the denier to Judas the betrayer. From Barabbas the terrorist to Pilate, the man who's just trying to keep the peace and his job. We are like each of them, faithful and faithless, confessing and denying. And in an even greater sense, Jesus is all of them and all of us. He became our sin who knew no sin. He became all of it. The denier, the rebel, the betrayer, the thief, the murderer, the insurrectionist, the opportunist, the crooked politician, the adulterous woman. He became humanity's sin. The world threw its worst at Jesus. All that we do to each other, all that others do to us, the worst of our inhumanity came to bear on Jesus. And he absorbed it all, becoming our sin so that in him we might become his righteousness. Look to the beggar king and his cross. Follow the path of sorrows that he walks alone to save you. Hail him with your palm branches. And then, like Simon of Cyrene, take up your cross and follow him. He will lead you in paths of righteousness. He will lead you through the dark valley of the shadow of death and the grave to life eternal. Barabbas and his sword cannot save you. Jesus and his cross has saved you. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And may his blood be upon us and upon our children. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.